What up, world? Welcome to an episode of I Bleed Sports. If you don't know, I am the host, brand new. And like always, on all podcast platforms everywhere, it is brand new show. Social media platforms, Instagram threads, brand new. Facebook, the brand new show. And of course, TikTok, before they banned it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know. But you can follow me on TikTok. Brand new show on TikTok. Really, where you can catch all of this, it's very simple. YouTube channel. Brand new show is my YouTube channel. Go subscribe. Hope you guys enjoy. This episode. Like I said, it's Tuesday, so you already know it's Tuesday. So it means it's I Bleed Sports, man. Of course, football is the topic of everybody's affection right now. College football finally got to the finals. Next Monday is the college football playoff finale. Ohio State versus Notre Dame. I will be talking about that game. Of course, the playoffs has officially commenced in the NFL. You have, of course, the wild card weekend that just took place. Last night was the last wild card game. This upcoming week is the divisional round. We are closing in on the Super Bowl, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty fucking nuts to sit here and think we are literally that far away from the Super Bowl. And then, of course, the NFL draft. We got coaches being hired. I'll be talking about that a little bit. What is going on with the Dallas situation? What is not happening right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers situation, who lost this past weekend? We're talking about that and how I feel about Mike Tomlin and what I think the Steelers should do. All of that, man. But let's start here. Oh, yeah. And, of course, boxing. But let's start here. So, Charles Barkley. Inside the NBA. I love them. I can't wait to see how they're going to. I don't know how this is going to work on ESPN. I do not know. ESPN is trying to give more people options. You got Pat McAfee and, you know, and now they gave Jason Kelce a show on Fridays at like midnight here. So you're getting a lot of new things for ESPN. I don't know how this is going to work next year when Inside the NBA takes over. I'm happy that they're finally going to be like, you know what, NBA Countdown is finally done. I love the NBA Countdown show, but they do not know how to really keep people in house when it comes to the NBA Countdown show. They've had so many people be on that show throughout the years. I don't even know who the fuck is on that show now. I can't even tell you who the hell is on that show now. But Inside the NBA is going to ESPN. Why do I bring this up, and why did I just say Charles Barkley to start this off? Because Charles Barkley has said something. I don't know if it was last week, the week before, or something. But he pretty much just said what pretty much everybody should be thinking, or most of us are thinking, which is the Lakers are bad this year. The Lakers, record-wise, might not look it. But last night, you played against the San Antonio Spurs. You pretty much was up in that game. And then you just let the game go. The one thing he said that of course caught my attention, of course, was, you know, it's everybody's fault except LeBron James' fault. And I get it. You're arguing with Drake right now on social media, whatever the hell's going on with y'all, that love a squirrel that y'all doing over there. But this shit is weird, you know. And I think the Lakers, this is what I've always said. He Charles Barkley pretty much said, you know, it's everybody's fault except LeBron James's fault. He said, one year, you know, it was Russell Westbrook. 3 years ago, it was Russell Westbrook's fault. And we couldn't figure the offense out because it was Russell Westbrook's fault. 2 years ago, two half the years before that, was Frank Vogel's fault. Now, and then it was Darvin Ham's fault. Now it's this person's fault and that person's fault. But yet, it's not LeBron James' fault. And that is the one thing about me that I do not like about LeBron James. Because he's right. It is everybody's fault except LeBron James. He's 100% right. LeBron James has been in the league for damn near 20 years. 20 fucking years. I can literally count on my hands how many times people have actually said that it's LeBron James' fault. Why his team can't get over. Why he can't win championships. Why he can't win in the regular season. When he got to the NBA Finals in 2007, everybody just chalked it up to, oh, he's just young. And look at the team he has. I mean, come on. Could you win a super, could you win a championship with Eric Snow and and Agauskas and Drew Gooding and Boobie Gibson? And could you win a championship with that team? It was never his fault. And I gave y'all that. Okay, but it's still a loss. He still lost. He got swept, matter of fact. He didn't just lose, he got swept in that finals. But I give it to y'all. Okay, yeah, he was young, didn't get a chance. The following year, he won 63 fucking games. 63 fucking games. No, not the following year. The year after that, 2009, they won 63 fucking games. 66, some crazy ass number. And they won 60 something games, and then they got to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Not the finals, semifinals. And they got bounced by the Orlando Magic. Because if you remember, Orlando played Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. They didn't play the Cavs. They bounced the Cavs. And then the Magic made it to the NBA Finals. So, and then the following year, he played against Paul Pierce in the Boston Celtics one last time before he left Cleveland and went to Miami. And he got bounced in seven. He got to seven at least. But he got to seven, but he got bounced. The only times I've ever heard LeBron James say criticism is the decision, is when he got to the NBA Finals with the Miami Heat that year, and he let JJ Barea defend him in a fourth quarter and shut his ass down. But outside of that, and even in that sense, I even was like, yo, that's kind of is some pussy shit. Like, you just left Cleveland and went to Miami, bro. Like, really, my nigga? That's how we moving? But at the end of the day, man, I even forgave him for that shit because he went back to Cleveland. Something that I thought a lot of people probably was like, nah, I don't think he would ever do that. He went back to Cleveland. I gotta give him his respect for that. Won a championship there. Congratulations. But since he's been in LA, bubble championship exempted. The Lakers have either missed the playoffs or been bounced in the first round. Most of the times he's either missed the playoffs or been bounced in the first fucking round. So it's crazy to sit here and give him that. The 1 year, the only 2 years he's actually made it out of the first round is the 2020 season, which was the bubble. And when he played Golden State. No, he played Memphis, Golden State, and then he made it to the Western Conference Finals and played Denver in 2020, not 2021, 2022. No, not 2022, 2023. Yeah, 2023. When they made it to the Western Conference Finals. What I'm trying to say is this, man. LeBron is great. He's awesome. He's one of the greatest to ever do it. But I can't give him the greatest to ever do it. He's one of, but he's not the greatest. And I think that's my problem. It's like, I think LeBron does have this thing where he just says he's the guy. And y'all just believe it. I don't believe it. I can't. And I just won't. I think he's okay. I think he's okay. I think he's okay. But when you sit there and tell me he's the greatest basketball player of all time, it's like, he's not better than Michael, man. He's not. He's not better than Kobe. He's not better than he's not. You know what's crazy? Magic made it to nine NBA Finals. He won five and lost four. That's a better record than LeBron. That's nuts. Steph Curry has been to the NBA Finals. What? He's got four rings. He's been to the NBA Finals. What, seven times, I think? He lost to the Cavs. He lost to Toronto. Those are the only times. So, six times. He's been to the finals six times. Won two without KD and two with KD. And he lost to Cleveland when they were 7-3-9. And he lost to Toronto when Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant both blew out the Achilles. One blew out the ACL, one blew out the Achilles. I'm not trying to bash LeBron. I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, like, LeBron just isn't that guy. And it's okay to say that. Because the and then on top of that, just the fact that you just passed Michael Jordan for 30-point games and you've been in the league 20 fucking years, nigga. That is ridiculous, bro. That's ridiculous, man. That's ridiculous, man. Yeah. That's bad. That's bad. That's fucking bad. I don't care. Nobody said that's fucking bad. But he said something that was pretty perfect, man. And Charles Barkley said something, and I'm starting to realize this is the thing about media, social media, and media, is that you got too many fanboys and not enough people to actually keep it 100 and keep it a beam. And you think you are, but like I was telling my brother Juan today, a lot of people nowadays just say shit provoking. And I'm not trying to say this to provoke anyone, because I get that people are gonna get mad if I clip this and post this on social media, and I probably will. But I don't see LeBron like everybody sees LeBron. And the crazy part is, I've watched LeBron since the moment he entered into the league. I was 8 years old when LeBron became an NBA player. 2000 and no, 2003? I think he came to the league 03? Yeah, 03. So I was 9 when he came into the league. I was 9 years old when that man came into the league, bro. I remember buying NBA Live and picking the Cleveland Cavaliers. And playing a whole schedule with LeBron James. I remember it. I remember it very fucking vividly. It was still on PlayStation 2. God damn. Ooh, shit, I'm getting old. Lord Jesus. Ooh, shit, today's my motherfucking self. Good God Almighty. But I remember that shit. I remember the first Cavs team that boy had. He had a Gauskas. He had Ricky Davis. He had Darius Miles. Like, people forget that Cavs team. The first Cavs team he got on with that motherfucking team was, that bitch was ready, bro. Like, that, he had Ricky Davis. He had Darius Miles. Like, bro, like, boy, it was on one, bro. Like, I don't think he had Quentin Richardson. Quentin Richardson, I think, was in Phoenix at that time. Yeah. That fucking Cavs, he was crazy, bro. So I've literally watched LeBron since the moment he entered into the league, bro. This shit is nuts. I've watched this man since he entered into the league. I remember trying to stay up and watch, because this was when NBA games would come on Tuesdays. The premiere of the NBA, the season premieres would be Tuesdays. I remember trying to stay up and watch the Cavs versus the Kings that night. The Kings sucked, by the way, by that time. No, the Kings were like, they were just starting to line, like, kind of suck. Yeah, they were coming out the heyday a little bit in 03. But yeah, they were coming out like the Mike Bibby, Chris Webber, Peja Ostojkovic, Doug Christie kind of Kings. So yeah, but yeah, man, I've watched this man's career for most of my life, and it's crazy to sit there and think like, but this is the LeBron I grew up watching, and now it's like, and I never saw him as the guy. I never saw him as the guy. I was happy when he won his championships, but I never saw him as the guy. It's crazy. I watched Steph Curry when he was in college, when he was at Davidson. I've always felt like Steph was better then. And that's not even me trying to bait you. That's just me being honest. This man Steph Curry went into this. They literally was designing defenses because they knew it was just him. Davidson had nobody on that fucking team with Steph Curry. Steph Curry would go in those games and put up 40 on niggas, drop 40 on motherfuckers, and just be like, "What?" This man got the fucking Davidson Wildcats to fucking Sweet 16, bro. by his fucking self, bro. Man, it's different. There's different levels, man. There's different levels to this shit. Again, no diss to LeBron. LeBron is one of the greatest to ever do it, but I don't have him as that. And again, I will be doing this Jordan versus Kobe versus LeBron. And this is coming soon. It's coming in February. It's right after the Super Bowl. I don't know when I'm going to do it. I'm going to probably have to do it on the weekend. It's going to be one episode. I don't know if I'm doing a four-part series. Might have to. I might have to do a four-part series. I'm not saying LeBron's going to just completely come into last. I might find out something about Jordan or Kobe that I might be like, nah. But, and I might even throw Steph in that bitch. I don't fucking know. But yeah, it's going to be a conversation. But these fanboys of LeBron since I was a child is crazy to me. It's like, because you saw the same career I have seen. It's the same fucking career. There's nothing that you saw through your eyes that I saw through mine. What has changed? He made some of the crazy, like, I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't fucking get it. I don't understand it. Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. That's fucking nuts. Yeah. Yeah. Boxing. Well, I do actually want to talk about this. Nah, I go to boxing. Boxing. I'll talk about it next week. So, Tank Davis. Tank Davis. Tank Davis had put out a tweet. Was it a tweet? Something on social media, I think I saw, where he was talking about Turki Alashik, who has pretty much put a lot of boxing matches together. And he kind of said, a lot of these boxers need Turki Alashik. He said, I can draw without that dude. I don't need him. He's like, a lot of y'all need him to draw. Do I believe what Tank is selling? Somewhat. Somewhat. I mean, I think Tank can actually, whoever Tank fights, it's a moment. It is a conversation. But I do believe also, boxing also needs Turki Alashik, because some people in boxing would never fight each other if this man wasn't in boxing or wasn't in the position that he's been in with Riyadh season. I think that a lot of boxers not only do need him for the publicity, but boxing needs Turki Alashik just as much, because we would have never gotten the fights we've been given. We would have never got Usyk and Fury. You wouldn't have gotten it. Top Rank would have never put Fury in the ring with Usyk. That shit just would never happened. We would have never gotten reportedly what we're gonna get, and I'll talk about it in a couple of seconds. But we wouldn't have gotten a lot of these fights. Do I think Tank needs Turki Alashik? Not really. I think Tank, if he decides to fight somebody, now I will say this, it would be in Tank's best interest to probably do some shit with Turki Alashik, because there are fights on the table that people are not taking because of him. Because they know if I get in the ring with Tank, I'm probably not going to win. I'm probably not going to win. But he could force the hands of a lot of these people that are very antsy about getting in the ring with people. We got Bivol and Beatrice that fought. Arthur Beatrice and Dimitri Bivol. They fought each other. They actually fought each other for the undisputed middle light heavyweight championship. They're fighting again. Like, it actually happened. That shit don't happen if Turki Alashik is not evolved. It doesn't. It fucking doesn't. And if it does, it's years and years and years later. There are fights that have been done That probably doesn't happen if this man's not involved. Boxing does need Turki Alashi. Do I think Tank need him? He doesn't need him. Would he be in his best interest to probably use him? Yeah, I do think that. Which brings me to the fights that have been announced, which is this. Canelo Alvarez and Terrence Bud Crawford have a mooch. They have agreed mutually to fight each other in September. Here's my thing. Do I think this is going to happen? Fuck no. I do not think this fight is going to happen. And I know people think I'm tripping. I talked about this last week. I don't know if this fight is actually physically going to happen because I don't think it is too fucking long from January to September, bro. That's a long ass fucking road. That's a fucking, that's months upon months of shit, bro. Anything could physically fucking happen. Canelo could back the fuck out the fight, which I have seen him do. I have seen Canelo say, nope, I don't want to fight him. Why? No, I don't want to fight him. I think Canelo back out the fight way faster than Terrence Crawford. I think Bud wants to fight Canelo. I don't know if Canelo wants to fight Bud. And that's always been the holdup. I don't think Canelo wants to fight Bud. I think he has no choice but to fight Bud because he's the only one right there. He's the only one that is you feel like you can actually beat. Again, I know these fanboys gonna get in their feelings when this comes out and they're gonna be like, Canelo could beat anybody. Okay, sure he can. Sure he can. Yeah, anybody could get whooped on a Saturday. I mean, we've all seen people get their ass whooped. It's boxing. Anything is possible. But at the same time, I think Crawford, by the time he get in the ring, Crawford be what? Crawford's what, 38, 39 already right now? So by the time he gets in the ring with him in September, he'll be about 39, 40. Crawford's up there in age, people. Ladies and gentlemen, people don't talk about this shit. Crawford's up there in age. All the time is undefeated. So by the time you get in the ring with Canelo in September, you up there, my brother. I don't know, and this is not a good fight for him. This isn't. I know a lot of people sit there and tell me, but Crawford and Floyd, if they got in the ring together, Floyd would beat the shit out of Crawford. Y'all really do. See, this is my thing. People always take skill, like talent. Floyd had skill level, my niggas. Floyd never put himself in any position where he couldn't get the fuck out of it defensively. I love Crawford, but Errol Spence pretty much just did everything Crawford needed him to do that night. Everything Errol Spence did, Crawford just was better than him on. Somebody like a Floyd Mayweather who studies tape, like he studies tape and pretty much knows how to box you. He's not gonna put himself in any position. I'm gonna say it like this. Crawford would have been way more frustrated by the time they got to like the fourth, fifth round than fucking Floyd Mayweather would have. Floyd is not gonna engage with you if he knows he can't really, if he can't really tag you like he wants to. Floyd was fucking incredible in the ring. People don't give this man his proper respect enough. Floyd would have beat the shit out of Crawford. He would have beat the fuck out of Crawford. I don't know what people continuously act like, oh, Crawford beat the hell out of Floyd. No, he wouldn't, bro. I don't think Crawford touches Floyd. In their prime, Floyd would beat the fuck out of Crawford. Are you kidding me? In their prime, bro. Crawford was getting tagged up by Sean Porter. Crawford got frustrated when Sean Porter was touching him. That shit is not good. Now you're really rushing Floyd. Now you're rushing Floyd, making it easier for him to tag you. This shit would have not went well for him. I think Floyd would have whooped Crawford's ass. Cause we're looking through our eyes now. Crawford is active now. When you go back and watch Floyd fights, bro, Canelo could barely touch Floyd. He was 21 years old. He could barely fucking touch Floyd. He was younger, faster, quicker, all that shit. He could barely fucking touch Floyd in that fight. And yet people want to still have this conversation of, Oh man, Terrence Crawford beat the shit out of Floyd. What Floyd? Prime Floyd? He could barely, Canelo could barely touch this fucking dude, and he was 15 years his senior. Bro, it's not the same. It's not the fucking same, bro. It's not the same. It's levels to this shit. Do I think Canelo beats Crawford? Yes, easily. I think Crawford is good enough to get with Canelo a couple times. But my thing has always been the problem that I have with Crawford is one, you're gonna be older when you get in that ring with Canelo. It's gonna be another year off for you, pretty much, since you fought the last time. It's gonna be another year off since you fought against the last fought dude you fought, except if you take a fight before that, which I can see you doing. I can see him trying to take a fight before that because I feel like you gotta get acclimated to the middleweight division, and you're not acclimated to the middleweight division. See, when you fought Errol Spence, you already was a welterweight. You knew how to walk in on fight night. You knew what type of weight you needed to carry. You knew what type of abilities you had already. When it came to the welterweight division, you get in the ring with Canelo, you have not fought in a year. You don't know how big you're gonna physically be on fight night, and on top of that, you're older. You are older than Canelo. This shit is bad, bro. Do I think Crawford could beat Canelo? Anything is possible. Do I think he will? Fuck no. I think Crawford is good. I think Crawford is really fucking good. But you're putting into perspective again, Canelo Alvarez has been at the top of the middleweight division for about a good, what, 3, 4 years? Which means he knows how to walk in on fight night with the weight he needs to carry. He knows how to handle the middleweight division. This is literally going to be your second fucking fight in the middleweight division. And I'm supposed to just assume you're going to go in there and whoop Canelo's ass? That shit is just stupid. That shit is just stupid. I don't understand that shit. But again, that's a fight in September. I don't know if it's going to happen. Me personally, I think Canelo and Crawford are not fighting in September. Something's going to happen contract-wise where Canelo's not going to be happy with something and he's going to back the fuck out the fight. I'm telling you this shit now. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming. Something else that happened over this past weekend, and that is Ryan Garcia is finally getting closer to the end of his boxing suspension from the Devin Haney fight. And Devin Haney and his father, I guess they was at some Ring Magazine award show, some shit, and they saw Ryan Garcia walking out the hotel, and Bill Haney was videotaping the shit. Why the fuck do everybody in this generation got a videotape shit? I get it if you're at a concert, like I was a couple, if I'm at Monday Night Raw and shit like that. I will videotape some shit. I will record some shit. But I'm not recording every fucking thing. You motherfuckers nowadays gotta record every fucking thing. Even when you look like a complete and utter dumbass. Bill Haney's outside of this fucking hotel and he's recording him talking shit to Ryan Garcia. Bruh, do you not understand your son got his ass whooped by this dude? That's not some shit we made up, nigga. That happened. That happened, my nigga. He got his ass whooped. That happened, nigga. This shit is bad, man. But you and your son is outside trying to talk shit to Ryan Garcia. Whatever. Turkey Alashik, this is why I say he's good for boxing. Because there is now a rumor that Turkey Alashik is trying to put a fight together between Ryan Garcia and Devin Haney again. And this time, they said Devin has already signed a contract, but Ryan hasn't signed it because, excuse me, there's a 24/7 drug policy placed in the contract that he might not accept. Cool. Okay. Here's my thing. Ryan did not lose to Devin. Ryan did not lose to Devin. Devin can do whatever he wants to do. He can sign a contract. He can say, I want to fight Ryan one more time. Great. Ryan does need to sign this contract. Now, I don't know if Ryan will because that's a whole other conversation. But there's another fight that is interesting, and that is Teofimo Lopez versus Ryan Garcia. That is also on the table. Both of them are now junior welterweights. That's an interesting fight to have. I think Teofimo beats the shit out of Ryan Garcia, to be honest with you. I don't think Ryan Garcia has a chance in fucking hell against Teofimo Lopez. That's just me. Again, that's me. I've seen Teofimo Lopez fight. I know when he's actually pushed to the brink and he's actually challenged. He's better than most fucking boxers on most nights. That's why I've always said him and Tank would make a hell of a fight. And if they actually got in the ring and actually really did fight each other, I don't know who fucking wins that fight. I know Teofimo kind of gets a little bit short-sighted sometimes in fights and kind of just takes his eye off the ball in some fights, which gets him in trouble sometimes in fights. But when he's focused, he whoops ass. When Tank, well, Tank is always focused, and he's always got a game plan. I would love to see that fight. But if we're gonna get Teofimo versus Ryan Garcia at some point this year, I would love to see that fight. Like I said, I think Teofimo beats the shit out of Ryan Garcia. I don't think it's even close. I think people are gonna sit there and be like, "Well, what happened? Ryan has no footwork. Did he work on his footwork? Did he work on any punch besides the hook? If any of that shit is not true, he gonna get his ass whooped." Listen. Listen, if he ain't work on any punch besides the fucking hook, he gonna get his ass whooped. Oh my God, he gonna get his ass whooped. It's bad, man. And nobody wants to hear that because, again, you're fanboys. You don't want to hear the truth. The truth is, Ryan Garcia has nothing but a fucking hook. Nothing more, nothing less. Devin Haney's stupid, and he let that damn hook tag his ass all goddamn night. Why? Because he thought he could bully him. And he found out the hard way. You cannot bully fucking Ryan Garcia because you are not strong enough to bully Ryan Garcia. And then on top of that, you couldn't jab to keep him away from you long enough. You kept playing into his game plan. I have said this numerous times. If Devin and Ryan got back in the ring, I probably would still take Devin Haney. I would take Devin Haney to win that fucking fight because the game plan would be different. His dad and him have to have a different fucking game plan. There is no way in hell that game plan you had that night made any fucking sense. You deserve to get your ass whooped like that because you tried to bully this fucking dude and you couldn't fucking do it. You deserve to get your ass whooped. I don't give a fuck what nobody says. That ass whooping was for what you thought you can do. You need to do what we know you can do, and that is outbox Ryan Garcia. We all know you can outbox Ryan Garcia. You don't have to box this motherfucker. You don't even have to try to make it strong power, strength versus strength. Bro, you are the better boxer. Just outbox him. That game plan you had that night when you got your ass knocked the fuck down three, four, five, six times in that fight, I'm pretty fucking sure will not be the game plan you have this next fight. And if it is, you gonna lose. You gonna lose. I don't know why the fuck people gonna pretend, but you gonna get your ass whooped. And then we're gonna finally have the conversation of, well, damn, did Devin even try? Did you try, nigga? Anyway, college football is set. Championship game is set. It will be Monday night, January 20th. I think it's in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken. Atlanta. Ohio State versus Notre Dame. Yep, that is the championship game. Notre Dame beat Penn State because Penn State was stupid and tried to throw the football. I don't know why. I still don't know what the fuck they were thinking. Just go into fucking overtime. Why would you do that? Now, granted, Penn State. I'm also want to say this about this before I go into this Notre Dame Ohio State thing. I am seeing a lot of college players saying they're not entering the draft and they're going back for one more year. This is interesting because now the NFL draft is starting to get really particular about how you're going to have to draft people. This isn't a draft. This draft is pretty basic compared to the last couple drafts. You know what this draft feels like? It feels like the 2020. What draft was Kenny Pickett drafted in? 2022? 2021? Yeah, 2021, 2022 draft? It feels like that draft. It feels like it's a lot of hit and fucking miss. If you get something good, like the kid from Penn State, a dual Carter, if you get a dual Carter, that's a star. You know you're good. You ain't got to worry about that. But if you get Shedeur Sanders, you're like, oh shit, okay. We gotta get him literally the right situation. We gotta get him the right quarterback. We gotta get him in the right quarterback situation. We gotta get him the right offensive coordinator. It's a lot of shit you gotta do. Travis Hunter is, I don't know why, he's perceived as this great quarterback. I don't fucking know. Travis Hunter is perceived as this great player. I don't know why. I do not know why. Again, the draft is telling everybody that he's way better than he actually physically fucking is. Somebody's gonna take him in the top 10, maybe even top 5. If it's not a particular team that has already an offense and a defense, and they don't really need him to do anything stupid, if they don't have anything crazy, like people are like, take him number 3. Why? Take him 1. Why? Take him 2. Why? You have nothing. You draft him and your team will be drafting in the next 2, 3 years in the top 5. He is not a game-changing fucking player. He's not a game-changing receiver. He's not even a game-changing fucking cornerback. He's none of that shit. If you do not have a good situation for him. But you saw a lot of Penn State players, Drew Ellinger, the quarterback of Penn State, both of their running backs saying, hey, we're going to stay in college for one more year. You're seeing a lot of players saying, I'm staying in college for one more year. You got Jalen Moreau. I think he said he's going to stay in college. I think he's going into the transfer portal. They say he was entering the draft. I can't remember now. But this draft is starting to get a little bit like, oh. Outside of maybe 1, 2, 3, it's going to be interesting. I don't know what you do. But yeah, this draft is very fucking interesting. Which brings me to Ohio State, Notre Dame. Notre Dame and Ohio State. I think now, Notre Dame beat Penn State, like I said, on the last second field goal. Texas beat Ohio State. And that game wasn't particularly close. I know the score says 28-14, but the game really wasn't close at all. And like I told my brother Juan today, if Notre Dame does exactly what they did to Penn State, keep the game close. Don't let them over, blow you out. Keep the game close. You put Ohio State, particularly Will Howard, in a position where he's going to have to actually be the guy. He's not going to do that. I've seen enough of Will Howard in Kansas State the last couple of years to know he ain't that guy. And on top of that, you're also asking Ryan Day to actually be a head coach. Not the best situation to do. I know people are going to sit there and say, well, Brandon, as long as it's not Michigan, Ryan Day is not a bad head coach. Sure. I'm not saying Notre Dame's defense is even nowhere near Michigan's defense. But Notre Dame's offense is at least a little bit better than Michigan's. And that's a very far stretch. This is going to be a defensive battle. If, like I said, if Notre Dame could not let them, like they did Penn State was supposed to blow them the fuck out, and they didn't. As long as you keep the game close, Notre Dame could win the game. I don't know if they will. That is the key part of this. I don't know if they will. Notre Dame's offensive line got bruised and battered against Penn State. Despite all of that, Penn State definitely got to Notre Dame. But the one thing that Ohio State defensively definitely showed you is that they are completely accessible to big plays. That defense can give up some big plays here and there. If Notre Dame could continuously get that going and keep, because they did it against Penn State, the tight end was definitely used perfectly well. If Notre Dame could keep the game close, again, long as you keep it close, anything is possible. And that is all Notre Dame has to worry about, keeping it close. You beat Penn State because Penn State got tight. Because they got extremely fucking tight. Same thing with Ohio State. Keep it close. And they will get tight. Ryan Day's play calling is gonna get a little shaky. And then you're gonna be like, oh shit. I think Ohio State wins the game. Don't get it twisted now. But I don't think it's gonna be a blowout. And I think that's what people are expecting right now, that it's going to be a complete and utter blowout. I don't think it will. I think it's going to be a defensive battle for the first half. I can see the score. Like I said, as long as you don't let Ohio State overrun you, overpower you, you can easily win the game. If you could keep it 13-3 going into halftime, or 13-6, some shit like that, or 10-6, now you're tightening. Ohio State is tightening. They're getting tight because they think in their head, it's like, oh shit, we should be blowing these fucking dudes out. What the fuck is going on? Texas just didn't show up that game. And Texas was never gonna show up that game. Quentin Ayers just isn't the guy. I'm not saying Riley Leonard is. I'm not saying Riley Leonard is by no stretch of the imagination. But again, if Notre Dame can keep the game close defensively, because that defense is where it all becomes. I can actually see Will Howard getting some trouble early, throw a pick or two, and then you're just sitting there like, what the fuck, dude? And that keeps Notre Dame in the game because, yes, they have a chance to pull away and they can't do it. And you're just like, because Will Howard keeps throwing the ball, keeps throwing the pick, keeps throwing. And you're just like, oh my fucking God, what are you doing? If Ohio State runs the ball consistently, they win this game easily. They win it easily. If they think, oh, we got to put Will Howard in the game, we got to let Will Howard be the guy, we got to let Will Howard do this, we got to let Will Howard do that, we got to get Jeremiah Smith going. We got to – nah. Nah. Keep the ball on the ground, win the fucking game. Keep the ball on the ground, win the fucking game. Dallas. So it is official. Dallas has officially mutually parted ways with Mike McCarthy. He will no longer be the Dallas Cowboys head coach in this upcoming season. He is gone. He is a free agent. Me and my brother Juan talked about this morning on Jack's Wild, his show. Go follow him on Instagram, All Sports Talk podcast. We talked about this morning. Dallas does shit ass backwards. You waited too long to physically say, okay, Mike McCarthy, thank you for your time, but we're going to now look for a new head coach. I said this last week about this job on this show. I literally said I can easily see Mike Zimmer becoming a new Dallas quarterback, head coach. Now people are like, oh, wait, Deion Sanders is in for the job. Deion Sanders is not going to no fucking Dallas. Fuck out of here. And if he does go to Dallas, if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm like, so should I pack my bags right now? Or like wait till y'all actually get a real deal for me? Because he's not going to be the quarterback of Dallas. Shador Sanders is. And we all know this. They're going to find a way. And here's the thing. Dallas will have no leverage in that fucking deal. Outside of Dak Prescott, who you're paying extremely amounts of money to, you have no reason, no team, Tennessee, Cleveland, damn sure the Giants, no team has no reason to trade you. Give you the top three, four, give you a top one or two pick. Why the fuck would I do that? Cleveland's very, now, I will say this, Cleveland does have a reason to go get a Dak Prescott, especially if you don't believe in any of these rookie quarterbacks. And you know Deshaun Watson is also out for at least this year too. And you have one more year with him on the deal. But you're not going to be paying two quarterbacks $40-something million. That's fucking ridiculous. Especially one of them guaranteed. Like, I can definitely see Cleveland entertaining the situation if Deion Sanders gets the job. I can definitely see it. But if you're Tennessee, do you say, we can just do some fuck shit and just draft Shador first. And then you stuck with Cam at two. And then you want Shador, you're going to have to swap us Cam and some some stuff. But here's the thing. Cleveland already has a head coach. This is hard, man. This is hard for this. And I'm really starting to think this through. It's just like people continuously sit there and say, "Oh, Jerry Jones likes the headlines and all this other shit." You get if you get Deion Sanders as the head coach, you got exactly what you want, the headlines. But you will immediately regret that shit. You regret that shit. Again, you got a lot of people in sports TV that is like, "Oh man, they need to do that." Why? So you could talk about the Dallas Cowboys, somebody that you, by the way, don't want to talk about to begin with. All these motherfuckers in TV be talking about something. "I don't want to talk about Dallas. Dallas is not a good team." And then you want to see a deal like this happen. Why? Why? Mike McCarthy moving on from the Dallas Cowboys is so Dallas, I don't even know how to fucking explain it. It is the most Dallas shit I've seen them do since last year when they tried to sign Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, and they waited too long to sign him and then try to tell us, "Oh, we didn't have enough cap space for Derrick Henry." Huh? What'd you say? I'm sorry. What'd you just say? Maybe because you took 20 fucking days into free agency to finally sign the fucking two people you were supposed to sign in this season, motherfucker. What are you talking about? Like, this is the most Dallas shit I've ever seen. Because now you can't even go interview any head coaches that you actually want. Ben Johnson is not coming to sit down with you. Aaron Glenn is pretty much a saint. Let's put that shit there. I don't want that to be the case, but he's pretty much a fucking saint. I know they're gonna interview Mike McCarthy. Sure they are. Whenever Washington's done, if they were done, I can see Mike McCarthy take the Chicago Bears job, only because Washington, Cliff Kingsbury can't interview for the Chicago job fast enough. If Washington gets eliminated this weekend, Cliff Kingsbury would be the Chicago Bears head coach. This shit is kind of obvious. The Patriots already got that man in Mike Vrabel. Pittsburgh is an interesting one because we don't know what they're going to do with Mike Tomlin. If they haven't decided to get rid of Mike Tomlin by now, they're not going to do it. They're going to do it. You would have fired him Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. You would have fired him then. Well, it is Tuesday today. So you would have got rid of him then. But you haven't done it yet. So I'm assuming you're gonna probably wait a week and then maybe pick it up, but it doesn't make any sense. The Raiders are gonna either get a young head coach in Ben Johnson, old head coach in Pete Carroll. Dallas is going to put Mike Zimmer as the head coach. I'm telling y'all this shit now. Mike Zimmer will be the Dallas Cowboys head coach. He's in-house. You don't really have to move anything. I said this shit last week that Mike Zimmer was going to be the Dallas Cowboys' new head coach. It's the most simplest fucking job. It's the most simplest one. He's right the fuck there. You don't have to go do anything. And if he wants the job, he can take the job. And on top of that, he doesn't like to talk to the media. Which means that's still Jerry Jones's circus. What more do you want? And then your defense, which was kind of gaining some attraction, can now just focus on, he can build that defense the way he wants to build that defense, and maybe the offense gets fixed. I don't fucking know. But yeah. Like I said, Pittsburgh is another one. Mike Tomlin lost this past Saturday to his rivals, the Baltimore Ravens, 28-14. The game really wasn't particularly close. It was an ass whooping. I haven't told my brother Juan a bunch of times since then. I can see the problem in Pittsburgh. It's not Mike Tomlin. It's really not, but it is Mike Tomlin at the same time. Mike Tomlin continuously puts patches on shit and think he could just sell it as, "Oh, we got a really great defense, and then the offense is just mediocre, average at best." And we're cool with that. And it's like, no. Like I told my brother Juan today, I think the offensive line of Pittsburgh is going to be great next year. I said this shit this year when they drafted all these kids. I said, "This offensive line, give it about midway point season-wise, they're gonna be really good. Next year, I expect them to take just another fucking step. Just take another step. You got the guard from Washington. You got the center from West Virginia. I think they drafted a tackle also from the in the draft. And then you also got Broderick Jones, who you drafted a couple years ago, 2 years ago from Georgia. This offensive line is gonna be great next year. It's gonna be fucking fantastic. If they can stay healthy, this is gonna be a dangerous offensive line. It really fucking is. The thing about Pittsburgh is they cannot fix this offense to save their fucking life. You have, yes, the quarterback situation is one thing, but you have one receiver, George Pickens, who seems like every time he opens his fucking mouth, he doesn't want to be there. Every time he opens his fucking mouth, it's not like he don't want to be there. You got two running backs that you don't really particularly use very well. Yeah, this team is weird, man. It's a weird fucking team. That offense is bad. Me personally, I would have fired Arthur Smith the moment the game ended. And I would have called up Clint Kubiak and said, listen, you want the problem with the Saints at first. At first. You want the problem with the Saints at first. When you actually had a healthy offense, your plays hit. Clint Kubiak is a creature of habit. So is Mike Tomlin. Let these two men get together and do something. You seen Cleveland call up Clint Kubiak. You seen Seattle call up Clint Kubiak. If I was Pittsburgh, I'd get on the phone with Clint Kubiak and say, listen, my job depends on this shit. Whatever you need to make this offense good, if you want Justin Fields will be the guy. And I'll figure it out there. I'll figure it out from there. The rest of that shit, I don't care about. Eyes on football. Woo! Four games. Skeptical game of the week. My most interesting game of the week. My upset game of the week. And of course, the game of the week. I don't know why I did that also just a moment ago. I don't know why. Anyway, let's get into it, man. My eyes on football this upcoming week. Postseason. Divisional round of the NFL playoffs. Here we go. Skeptical game of the week is, of course, Texans versus Chiefs. Oh, yeah. These two teams met a couple weeks ago. These two teams met a couple weeks ago in Kansas City, of all places. Game was 24-19, where Tank Dell suffered that horrendous injury. Man, oh, man, oh, man. That injury was. Oh man, yeah. But he's on crutches. He was at the game this past weekend. I'm happy to see him on crutches. I'm happy to see him moving up and about, 'cause that injury was, yeah. Why is it a skeptical game? The one thing that Kansas City has somewhat struggled with the last couple of postseasons has been the offensive tackles. Yes, when Patrick Mahomes is hurt, it seems like he plays better. But at some point, that ankle that he is nursing still is going to come back and bite him in the ass. Do I think Texans can pull off this upset? Of course I do. I do. Will they? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I think CJ Stroud can definitely handle himself in this game. Joe Mixon is the key to this game. He was the key, I said last week when they played against the Chargers. He's the key in this game against Kansas City. He's the key in this game against Kansas City. If they can run the ball effectively, control clock and put Kansas City in positions where Patrick Mahomes has to now overexert himself in games, because that's the one thing about certain games. Kansas City has not had a t played a team that can really just run the ball, kill clock, and then give the ball back to you and say, okay, go do your thing. The only team they did that to against is Buffalo. Joe Mixon has got to be used properly in this game. And on top of that, if I was D'Amico Ryans, there's only one person that I would even allow to have a conversation with my team before we go out on that field. And that is the only man that has walked into that stadium when Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have been together, and Travis Kelce. The only man that has walked into that stadium and beaten that team in the playoffs at home. That man is Joe Mixon. That's the only person I'm letting talk. I don't give a fuck what nobody say. Will Anderson played his ass off this past the Saturday. Danielle Hunter is there. Danico Autry is also there. This is a Texans team. If they can control the offensive line of the Kansas City Chiefs and get to them, they can win this game. Their offensive line is not great either. This is the game where I've said last week, this is the same game plan I said last week. I said again to the Houston Texans. Run Joe Mixon. Don't put yourself in any stupid ass situations where CJ Stroud has to do more than what he needs to do. And control clock. And you pretty much could win the game. This is a low scoring game. It's going to be a low scoring game. I'm telling y'all this shit now. It's going to be a very low scoring game. I do not see the Kansas City Chiefs putting a 40. Fuck no. They haven't done it all year. But I don't also see the Houston Texans putting a 40 either. This is going to be a very interesting game. I think if they can get to Patrick Mahomes, make him fear. But Kansas City's going to do some things offensive line wise. They're not going to let Patrick Mahomes just get fucking battered like Justin Herbert got battered. They're not going to do that. But I do think D'Amico Ryans is a really great defensive mind. He has coached against Andy Reid, not just in the regular season, but in the Super Bowl. So it'll be pretty interesting to see how this is going to play out. But that is my skeptical game of the week, Texans versus Chiefs. Most interesting game of the week is Ravens versus Bills. You know that's going to be on here. Now, a lot of people say, well, Brandon, why is that not your game of the week? I like a lot of, I like another game a little bit more than this one. This is an interesting game because I do not know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to win because the game plan for one is the game plan for the other. The game plan for one is the game plan for the other, which is run the fucking ball. Keep the other team on the sideline. It's the same fucking game plan for the other team. The last time these two teams played was week 4. Week 4, Baltimore was still struggling. Baltimore was still struggling. They were 1-2 at the time. Buffalo was undefeated. They went into Baltimore and got fucking routed. This is a completely different two teams. This is two different fucking teams. Clearly, two different fucking teams. What do I think is going to happen? I think Baltimore is the better team. That's just me being honest. I think Baltimore is the better team. I think Baltimore has a better defense. And I think they have a better offense than Buffalo. And I think they have a better quarterback. They have a better running back. They don't have better weapons. I'd never say that. They don't have better weapons. But then they are, and I think they're a better coach team. But being at home, that's a hard thing. I would say this though. Lamar Jackson's only been on the road one time in the playoffs. In his career, you'd think it would have been more. He's only been on the road one time in his career in the playoffs, and that was to Josh Allen in 2020. You know what happened? He lost. He lost. He lost to Josh Allen in the divisional round. That year, Buffalo went to the Kansas City Chiefs. And they played the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. And Kansas City won. En route to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs winning their first Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. Then all hell broke loose. Then all hell broke loose. Lamar Jackson has been given grief for good reason. I mean, the playoffs, he's just not performed when he needed to perform. Last week was probably the best playoff game he had from beginning to end. And that was against a team that has pretty much owned him since he's gotten into the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think Buffalo is good, but this is the thing about Baltimore that I've always said. Baltimore is. Last week, they did something that I think that I can definitely see them doing to Buffalo, and Buffalo being a little bit hesitant on it too, which is pick your poison. Pick your poison. Which one you want to do? You want to run at a 20, you want to run at a 200 some pound running back that can fucking stiff arm your head off your shoulders and Derrick Henry? Or do you want to run at a fucking person that could really make you look like a dumbass? Because he jukes you or spins and then he just burns off and takes off it like Lamar Jackson. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? This is a scary feeling to go into a game like this if you're Buffalo because you know you have to stop Derrick Henry. But you know you have to stop Lamar Jackson. This is a scary feeling. Buffalo has the same type of energy on their side. I would never sit up here and act like James Cook isn't fucking good. Here's where the problem lies. Buffalo got banged up in that last game. They got fucked up a lot in that last game. They lost the backup running back, Ray Ray Davis. You lost an offensive lineman. There was a lot of injuries in that last game for Buffalo. This shit ain't some shit you just walk out away from. The question really does become for me personally is Zay Flowers. If Zay Flowers plays in this game against Buffalo, I don't know how much damage he can physically do. He could be a decoy, but they got to use him the right way. I don't think it's going to be like week four was when they played in Buffalo. I mean, yeah, in Baltimore. It's going to be way more entertaining, but I definitely can see Baltimore winning this game. And also, another X factor is Justin Tuck. This is a game Justin Tucker has to fucking get. Good. He's got to be where he used to be in this game. I'm not saying you got to be just as that guy, but you're gonna have to make some field goals in this game where we like, okay, we're good. Okay, we're good. He's gonna have to make some field goals, and that's the thing. Special teams in this game is gonna be very important in this game for both teams. Kicking the football, making field goals are gonna be very important in this game for both teams. Definitely. Upset game of the week. Now, I wrote something down, but that's clearly not going to be my upset game of the week. And that is Rams versus Eagles. Clearly, that's my upset game of the week. Reason why I have this game as an upset. I have said this numerous times since the beginning of the fucking season. I don't trust Nick Sirianni for shit. I don't trust Nick Sirianni for shit. Sunday was a perfect example of why I don't trust that fucking dude. The Packers are literally giving you the fucking game. There is no way in hell that game should have even been anywhere near competitive. I don't know if it's Nick Sirianni. I don't know if it's Kellen Moore. Somebody's calling these fucking plays because there is no way in hell this game should have been that fucking competitive. Especially when you're missing one of your best cornerbacks. Scratch that. Your best cornerback, Jaire Alexander, in that game was 22 to 10. To 10. Okay. Last night, the Rams sacked Sam Darnold, the human statue. Nine times in that game. Jalen Hurts is way more elusive than fucking Sam Darnold. But the last time these two teams played, Saquon Barkley had 200. He had a fucking unreal rushing number. It was like 200 and like 86 yards. It was, man, that shit was nuts, bro. Saquon Barkley had like 200 and like 86 yards and 68 yards rushing. This man had 334 yards total by himself. don't think the Rams are that team. I don't think they're the same damn team. I don't think they are. And if they are, oh my God, it's going to be a long fucking day for him. Oh my God. It is going to be a long fucking day for you. I think the Eagles are a great team when they actually play like it. But again, like I said, man, Saquon Barkley had like 200 some yards on the ground and had like over like 80 some receiving yards. This shit was bad, bro. It was like 300. The man racked up like 300 yards by himself. That is not gonna be the game. I actually think the Rams can actually pull it out. I do. I think the Rams can pull it out because the one thing about the Rams that the Packers could not capitalize on is the Eagles secondary. And I know. What? The Eagles secondary? Who, you crazy. That's you can get the Eagles secondary. You can get them. You don't believe me? Did you not see Jayden Daniels throw three touchdown passes in the fourth fucking quarter and come back and beat them? You can get the Eagles secondary, bruh. And you need a veteran like Matthew Stafford to handle that. Now, here's the problem with that. I call Sam Darnold the statue. Matthew Stafford must be the fucking Statue of Liberty because he can't fucking run either. He can't get out the pocket. So if the Eagles actually put pressure on that offensive line, which their offensive line isn't fucking good either, but if you put pressure on that offensive line, they break like a fucking dam. And then the game is over. The game is over by halftime. It's like, bro, this shit is over. Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis is just beat the shit out of the offensive line by themselves. Like, what are we gonna do? You gotta get Kyren Williams going. You gotta keep Matthew Stafford upright. That is the key for the Rams. If you keep Matthew Stafford upright, you might win the game. I don't know if you will. And that's kind of the conversation. That's the biggest question. And of course, my game of the week is, of course, Commanders versus Lions. This is pretty obvious. This is my game of the week, man. Jayden Daniels versus Detroit. That is gonna be incredible. This is gonna be incredible. I can't wait to see this game. Do I think the Commanders can win this game? Of course, I think the Commanders can win this game. Will they? No. I don't think the Commanders are winning this game. The reason why I don't think the Commanders are going to win this game is because Detroit is going to play them just like Philly played them the first time they played, which is press coverage the fuck out of Scary Terry. That's the only person you got to worry about. Keep him from getting open, and you're good. Now, Jayden Daniels has found ways to get other people going 100%. But here's the difference between Detroit's offense versus Tampa Bay's offense. Detroit can run the ball. Jahmyr Gibbs is a hard fucking dude to break now. Detroit's offensive line is way fucking better than Tampa's. Extremely fucking better. They have a better weapon tree. I think that's how you say that. Than Tampa does. Sam Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jamison Williams. That's a lot. Khalif Raymond. That's a lot of shit in Detroit's offense that you gotta worry about. Do I think Washington can win this game? Of course I fucking do. Will they? I don't fucking know. But it's gonna be fun watching this motherfucking game. Oh, it's gonna be fun. Oh, I'm looking forward to the game. All right. Big four in the NFL. My four teams in the NFL going into the divisional round. So let's get into it, man. Number one, the Detroit Lions. Yep. Bye week last week. 15-2 coming into this postseason divisional round. They of course play the Commanders, like I said. I think the Lions are amazing. Like I said, Detroit's defense, and this is the game. See, last year in the postseason, what cost Aaron Glenn jobs was the defense. This year, his defense is actually improved. As much as the injuries have happened on the defense, he isn't really the reason for why the defense, he hasn't let that really slow down the defense. And that's a very impressive thing. That is why a lot of people are saying that he is going to be the head coach of my Saints. But at the same time, man, this is such an interesting situation because I feel like at the end of the day, Detroit, if they win this game, the question will immediately become, well, does this mean they're going to the Super Bowl? And it depends on who they play. Depends on who they play. But Detroit is number one for me. Number two, the Baltimore Ravens, 13-5, going into Buffalo this upcoming weekend to get to the AFC Championship game. They could either be hosting it or going to Kansas City. Depends on how this goes. I think Baltimore is a dangerous fucking team. Something that I said last week, and I'll say it again. That defense is alive. That defense is alive. For the first half of that Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, it wasn't even close. Wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. Baltimore's defense, if they play with that same intensity this upcoming weekend, I think Baltimore is going to the AFC Championship game. More importantly, I think Baltimore is winning, going to the Super Bowl. It's not on the offense, even though the offense sometimes kind of Ty Monken kind of gets stupid and start calling bullshit. As long as you keep the game plan simple and don't force yourself into any dumbass situations, Baltimore wins this game easily. Easily. Number three, Buffalo Bills, 14-4. They're hosting the Baltimore Ravens. Listen, I think Buffalo is good. They're okay. I think Buffalo is good. I think they're okay. But at the same time, you're asking Buffalo to do more than what they usually can do. This is the thing about me. Consistency. Yeah, Josh Allen's great. But in moments like this, he kind of throws a pick or two where you just like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? That is the thing. I think Buffalo, like I said earlier, it's the same flip side of the coin. It's like Buffalo could do the same thing to Baltimore that Baltimore could do to Buffalo. The question really does become, will they? I don't think Sean McDermott is a better head coach than Jim Harbaugh. I don't think Josh Allen is a better head co a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. I don't think James Cook is nowhere near Derrick Henry. But they got receivers, not great ones, but they got receivers. They got some shit that they can move. I think the tight ends of Baltimore is way better than Buffalo's. But Baltimore doesn't have the receiving core like a Buffalo, and that's not saying a lot. Do I think Buffalo can win this game? Of course they can, at home, and the momentum will be with them. But at the same time, I watched the game against Denver, and despite what people want to say, oh, the score, look at the score. Baltimore didn't really pull away. Buffalo did not pull away from Denver until literally at the end of the third quarter, midway, like 5 minutes into the third quarter. That game was still 13-7. And they had to go for it on fourth and fucking one to get that touchdown. Bro, come on now. Come on now. I know the score was 31-7, but Let's be 100. They didn't score all them points until the fourth fucking quarter. And that was against a Denver team who has no running game, a rookie quarterback on the road, and a defense that for most of the season was really good. And then they got into certain situations where they just couldn't handle it. And number four, after last night, I can't ignore it. And that's the Los Angeles Rams. Like I said, they're going to Philly. Reason why the Rams are on my, is my fourth and not Kansas City or Philly is because I got eyes. I got fucking eyes, ladies and gentlemen. I got eyes, and they actually see very well. And what I saw in the Green Bay game against Philly for Philly is I don't know what the fuck Philly is, and I don't think Philly knows what the fuck they are. In Kansas City, it's 16-1, and I could care less. I could care less. They might win the fucking Super Bowl again, and I would be like, I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Rams beating the Vikings last night with everything that's going on in LA was right on par. I did not have no faith in the, I had no faith in the Chargers. I had all faith in the Rams because the Rams actually are, you know, good. The Rams are good, ladies and gentlemen. I know it's hard to believe, but the Rams are fucking good. I was not surprised that the Rams beat the Vikings. I'm not even surprised they beat the Vikings like they beat the Vikings. Like I said, this upcoming weekend between them and the Eagles are gonna be very fucking interesting. I think the Rams can beat the Eagles. Or they can also get blown out by the Eagles. It just depends on what Rams team shows the fuck up. My concern for the Rams in that Vikings game is still the same concern I got for them in the Eagles game. They can play really great football like they did last night. Or they could completely and utterly shit the fucking bed. And I would be like, yeah, it makes sense. Either or, something entertaining is going to happen. That was a warning for the NFL. You already know. Three teams. My yellow, that's caution. Red, oh, orange, it's panic time. And of course, red is completely and utterly DOA. Let's get into it. Yellow, caution, is the Denver Broncos. They finished the season 10-8 after losing to the Buffalo Bills 31-7. God damn. They scored the first points of the game and then score again the rest of the fucking game. Like I said, despite what people want to say, they kept that game very fucking close for most of the game. It wasn't a blowout. Like I said, don't let the score fool you. It wasn't a fucking blowout like people think it is. That was a very close fucking game. Sean Payton just got out coached. Sean Payton got out coached, like extremely out coached by Sean McDermott. It's like his offense just, like I've been said, it's like the offense just hits a fucking rut, man. Like they don't know what they do after the. They did one big play, they got a touchdown, and it was just like, okay, the fuck are we doing? They didn't even try. It felt like Sean Payton didn't even fucking try, bro. Felt like he didn't even try. Like, what are we doing? Believe it or not, though, I think Denver's future is actually way more brighter because something that people always say, we got a lot more questions than answers. Compared to my team that's panic time, I think we got a lot more answers about that team than we got questions about them. And that's why I put Denver at caution because now they can actually build around Bo Nix. Do I think Bo Nix is the future quarterback and he will be great? I think Bo Nix got a couple years under his belt where they just dominate. They get him what they need for him. They gotta go get him weapons. They gotta go get him an offensive line. They actually have to get a running game. Sean Payton's offense is predicated on running the football. So the fact that he hasn't had a good running game in a minute tells me a lot. I can see Denver, depending on where they are picking, I think they're picking in the 20s now. I can see if, I don't think he falls that far, but I can see Austin Gentry from Boise State, the running back. If not, I can see the guy, I can see Dylan Sampson. from Tennessee. I can see Simpson from Tennessee. I can see the running back from Arizona State. I can see one of them going to Denver and being drafted in the first round because, yes, Denver has needs offensive line help and they damn sure need receiver help, but they can also get another. They can get a running back and just go from there. So yeah, Orange panic time, and that is the Chargers 11-7. Listen, man. Like I said, there's a lot more answers than questions now about the Chargers. And this is something I wanted to say. We need to stop throwing this word talent and elite and generational talent around. We got to stop throwing that word around. Justin Herbert this past weekend proved one thing, that he's good. He's really good. He's talented. But that's it. He's not skilled at really anything particular. Like, he's not skilled at anything particular. Like, Joe Burrow is skilled at precise passes. Patrick Mahomes is skilled at clock management. Lamar Jackson is skilled at avoiding pressure. Josh Allen is skilled at keeping his eyes downfield and getting a big play. Justin Herbert's not skilled at any of this shit. He's not skilled. He's talented, but he's not skilled at anything. Oh, he's got an arm. He's got an arm, motherfucker? That's all we got? So does Jordan Love, nigga. The fuck we talking about? Like, what are we talking about? Oh, he's got an arm. So does half the fucking league, motherfucker. Who cares? He's not skilled at anything. He's talented, but he's not skilled at anything. And that's the thing. Justin Herbert, that is the answer I got. That Justin Herbert is not skilled at anything. He's talented, but you're not skilled. To be CJ Stroud is skilled. CJ Stroud is becoming skilled in big moments. He's starting to handle himself in high pressure situations. That is good. Justin Herbert is not. Justin Herbert is talented. He's not skilled. And we confuse these things. We think because you got a great arm and you can fit some shit in a window, that means now you're so fucking incredible and you're skilled and you're talented. No. He's talented. He's not skilled. Skill gets you in the fucking Super Bowl. Skill gets you in the AFC Championship game. Skill gets you at least in a conversation of being one of the best quarterbacks in the fucking league. Talented is Baker Mayfield. Talented is Jared Goff, motherfucker. Talented is Matthew Stafford. You gotta be skilled at something. Matthew Stafford, by the way, has won a Super Bowl. That's why he's skilled. That's why he's skilled. Jalen Hurts is talented. Jordan Love is talented. And skill makes you elite. When you're skilled at something, that means you're elite at something. That is the one thing that somebody don't have because everybody's talented. You cannot be a fucking bum and make it to the NFL. You gotta be talented at something in the NFL. Justin Herbert is talented. He's not skilled at anything. He's not skilled. You really would take Justin Herbert over Lamar Jackson. And if you say, yeah, you are a fucking dumbass. You would take Justin Herbert over Joe Burrow. And if you say, yeah, you are a fucking dumbass. You would take Justin Herbert over Josh Allen. I know you motherfuckers would not say that at all. So no, you would not. And I know damn well you would not take Patrick fucking. You wouldn't take Justin Herbert over Patrick fucking Mahomes. I wouldn't take Justin Herbert over CJ Stroud. I wouldn't. They are, what, 32 teams in the league. There are 16 teams in each conference. Justin Herbert is the second best quarterback in his division behind Patrick Mahomes. Justin Herbert is the fifth best quarterback, sixth really, best quarterback in the AFC. That's behind Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, and now CJ Stroud. I think he's better than Tua. He's better than Tua. He's better than Anthony Richardson. He's better than Trevor Lawrence. He's way better than Trevor Lawrence. Pittsburgh has no quarterback, but if you want to say Russell Wilson, he's better than Russell Wilson right now. He's better than Deshaun Watson. Tennessee's got fucking Will Levis. He's better than him. Way fucking better than him. Justin Herbert is six. He's better than Bo Nix right now. He's better than Aiden O'Connell right now. You're the sixth best quarterback in your own conference. Lord knows that list, when you actually look at the entire landscape of the NFL, I'm taking Jaden Daniels over Justin Herbert right now. I'm taking Jalen. That's a toss-up between him and Jalen Hurts, but I take Jalen Hurts because Jalen Hurts has actually shown me when he's actually had a chance, he can show the fuck up. I take Jared Goff over Justin Herbert right now. I would take Michael Penix Jr. over Justin Herbert right now. I would take Bryce Young over. You know why? Because the jury is still out on those guys. I've already seen enough of Justin Herbert to know either you're injured or you get your head coach fired. There's no in between with you. That's why I say he's talented, he's not skilled. And it's okay that there's a lot of motherfuckers that are talented, they're not skilled. Michael Penix Jr. in three games, I've already seen he's skilled at this. He's skilled at a particular set of skills. He has something, intangibles, that don't show up on the tape. And that's something that people want to, that's why you rate this shit. Oh, I looked at Caleb Williams' tape, and he, no, man, Caleb Williams don't do none of that shit that y'all think he does. But Jaden Daniels does. Michael Penix does. Drake May does. Justin Herbert doesn't do any of that shit that y'all think he does. But CJ Stroud does. Joe Burrow does. Lamar Jackson does. And Red is DOA, and that's the Steelers. Like I said, I don't know what they're going to do with Mike Tomlin, but the one thing they damn sure need to do is fire Aunt Arthur Smith, and then they need to go get a quarterback. And in this draft, you're not drafting a quarterback because there's no good quarterbacks in this draft outside of Cam Ward. And after that, it's slim fucking pickings. If I was the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would draft a receiver. Now, this is where you actually could probably use, if he falls this far, which I think he should fall this fucking far, this is where Travis Hunter would be perfectly used. Because you can use him for the secondary, but if he mainly to be a receiver, and so many people be so afraid of having him on the field with possibly Justin Fields, that's a dangerous combination. But Pittsburgh offensively has got to get fixed. Defensively, they're getting old, but Joey Porter Jr. is now officially your number one cornerback, and you don't have to worry about that shit at all. And that is why I feel like Pittsburgh is a red team, because I don't know what they're going to do with Mike Tomlin. I don't know what they're going to do with the quarterback situation. I don't know what you're going to do with the coaching staff. It's a very volatile situation in Pittsburgh that nobody really, we're talking about it, but we're not really expounding on it. It's a very interesting situation. Pittsburgh is going to be a team that's going to be in a very interesting situation during this offseason. What do you do with Mike Tomlin? What do you do with this offense? How do you make it better? Because this is Mike Tomlin's last year. I do agree. I think this is Mike Tomlin's last year with Pittsburgh. Because you are the third best team in the AFC North, and it's not getting any better. It's not getting better. That is it. I Bleed Sports. I'll be back next week. Talk about the divisional round, the college championship, some boxing things that's coming on, basketball, everything. But until next time, man, I am Brandon Janu. Peace.